Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer before we turn to scripture tonight. Lord Jesus, we come before you, Lord, at this appointed time of the service. We're asking, Lord, for you to guide us through your word tonight, dear God, to give us understanding, dear God, that will help us in our walk. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 21. What I want to speak on tonight is what things soever you desire. Matthew 21, verse 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which was done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, be thou cast into sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now if you could turn me to Mark chapter 11, verse 21. Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Jesus answered, saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Amen. You may be seated. In John chapter 14, Jesus says, If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. He says, that the Father might be glorified in the Son. Whatsoever things you desire, that makes it pretty broad. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have it. Turn with me, if you would, now to 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5 and verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. So it's to not just to ask, but sometimes you may ask for something that may not be God's will. And Brother Branham said, God always answers prayer, but he doesn't answer it always the way you think he's going to answer it. And he doesn't always answer it he doesn't ever answer it according to our timeline or schedule. He answers it according to his. And you've got to realize that there are things God wants for you. He wants you to have. But what's the foremost thing in God's mind is getting you ready for the world to come. That's the foremost thing in his mind. He wants you to have the things you need here in this world, but this world has a time limit on it. There's coming an end to it. And so whatever you would receive in this world, that's going to pass away. But whatever you receive in the world to come will be eternal. But it doesn't mean God doesn't want you to have things now. He does. But that's not the foremost thing on his mind concerning you. And so that's why you must seek the will of God in everything you ask, seek the will of God, and God will grant it. Anything you ask, if it's something that would in the end hinder your walk or in some way be a hindrance to you, then you're not going to get that, because that wouldn't be the will of God. So John says, if we ask according to his will, we know he heareth us. Now, turn with me to Mark. It's also in Matthew, found in Matthew, but I want to read what it says in Mark chapter 10. And we'll start at verse 35. Now, this is somebody, these are two men that ask for something that they can't have. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. Now, didn't he say whatsoever things you desire? They said, well, this is what we desire. And he said to them, what would ye that I should do for you? And they said, grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, you know not what you ask. Can you drink of the cup I drink of? Be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. They said, we can. They still didn't even know what they were saying. And Jesus said unto them, you shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. So here was two individuals that come and they asked something they desired, but they couldn't have it because God had already established who was going to be sitting in those positions. And then if you read on, you find out that the other disciples, they kind of got upset now at James and John for asking such a thing. And Jesus, if you look down in verse 42, Jesus said, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so it shall be among you, but whosoever shall be the great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. So Jesus kind of brings all these things into perspective of somebody wanting to be a big eye, you know. And he says, well, the greatest among you is going to be the one that ministers to all of you. And you might think that that's a great position. It's honorable, but it's no picnic. And whosoever be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. And then he says, he shows that here he has come to be the servant to the people, to be the minister to the people. Not that he should receive, but that he should give. Now, I want to read something from the Pergamon Church Age book. And Brother Branham here is covering the scripture we read from 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And he says, I wonder if we are sufficiently impressed with the word in our midst. Let me give you a thought here. How do we pray? We pray in Jesus' name, don't we? Every prayer is in his name, or there isn't any answer. Yet in John 5:14, we are told, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition we desire of him. Now we ask, what is the will of God? There's only one way to know his will, and that is by the word of God. So then he goes to Lamentations 3 and 37, And it says, who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass when the Lord commandeth it not? And he says, there it is. If it isn't in the word, you can't have it. So often I go to the parable that Jesus gives about the individuals that were bid to the marriage supper. And if you remember, there was those that gave excuse why they couldn't come. One said he had got married, and the other said he bought property, and the other said he bought a pair of oxen, and for these reasons they were not able to come. And I point out that there was nothing wrong with getting married. There was nothing wrong with buying property or buying oxen. There's nothing wrong with you buying a house. There's nothing wrong with you buying a car. Or even there's nothing wrong with you buying a fishing boat, as long as it doesn't come between you and the Lord. But now, I was sitting in a church that I go and visit in West Virginia, and we were sitting there before the service started. And my cousin, you know, she has that Facebook thing, and she's on Facebook, and there was two people from the church that were posting right then the fish they were catching. And I said, they're supposed to be at church. And they're not only are they out fishing when they're supposed to be at church, but they're posting it so everybody knows this is why we ain't in church. So there's nothing wrong with them fishing, nothing wrong with them having a fishing boat. But there was something wrong with them putting it before God, deciding to go, well, we're going to go fishing on Wednesday night. They could have went fishing any other day. So it's not these that there's something wrong with these things, that they're sinful. It's if we allow them to come, we put it before God. We don't want it to become first in our life. Like Brother Branham teaches about education. You know, you hear so many things Brother Branham says negative about education. But there are things that Brother Branham says where he says, we don't want to be ignorant now. And he says some things concerning education, but he says, don't put it before God. And don't look to your education to get a spiritual answer. Turn with me to James chapter 4. James covers this. He says, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. So he said, you don't have it because you're not asking for it. But then he says, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss. And he explains that by saying that ye may consume it upon your lusts. So it goes back to the thing that the prophet always pointed out to us, was check your motives and objectives. What's your motive for it? See that your motive and your objective is right. If that's right, then go ahead. But if you got the wrong motives to it, then it's not going to work out. You know, you ask God for something and you got the wrong motive to it, you better be thankful he doesn't give it to you. But we see people in the world, different people that other walks, that it seems like they have and they get. But we also can see where there's times where there's some of them that abuse it, and they'll answer for that. And there's some that have, and they readily give. And that goes to their credit as well. But he says, you receive not because you ask amiss, because you may consume it upon your lusts. So we're not asking for something that we can consume on our lusts. You understand? I could ask God for a new house. But now, up in Ohio, and I was just up there not long ago, and so I heard about this, that, you know, this great basketball player was up in Cleveland, left and went out to California. So he's got a big mansion up there on the lake, and he's got that mansion for sale. Now, I don't know about you, but me, I couldn't ask God for that mansion. I think I'd be asking amiss. You see? But to ask God for something that I really need, or something that can be of use, then I believe that God will answer the prayer. I believe you're not asking amiss then. Now, I know there's, you know, some that would think, well, there are certain things that like I just mentioned about the mansion or whatever, but I believe that there's things that you desire that you can ask God for. And as long as it's not a hindrance to your walk, he'll give it to you. In the unchangeable God, I want to read this to you. It's quite lengthy, but I want to read it to you. Brother Branham, what he says here. He said, now the thing is with people is the way God appears. Many times we want to make an idol out of God. We ask God to do something, and then he must do it just the way we ask it, or we'll say he never answered. And when we do that, we weaken our faith in God, and we weaken our testimony when we do not take him at his word. God always answers. Jesus said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find. Everyone that asks will receive, everyone that seeks shall find. Everyone that knocks, it'll be open to them. Now, the only way that I've always found it, that I can get anything from God, is to take him at his word and believe it in the way he sends it. Now, if we do not take it just the way we think it is, we've built God as an idol. He's got to answer just according to our ways. Well, it's just no good. He didn't answer us. God answers in many ways. He answers in peculiar ways and times, and everything is odd. We'll take, for instance, Moses. Moses was 80 years old. He was almost, you might think, too old for God to deal with. He was an old man, unexpected in his age to be dealt with God. Another thing, he was under the Mount Horeb, the unexpected place. And God met him at an unexpected age, at an unexpected place, in an unexpected way. God didn't meet Moses the way he usually met men. He met Moses in an unusual way, in a way that he chose to meet Moses in. That's the way he answers our prayers, in the way that he thinks is best. And his way is always right. If we ask for anything and it doesn't happen just that way, or the way we think God ought to let it happen, then that makes us lose and fall back. Let's ask God, stand firm on the word and say it's true, and just receive it the way he sends it. That's the way you got to believe God. It may come disguised. It may come in another way, a roundabout way. But no matter what way it comes, if we have asked, we shall receive. God said so. That settles it forever if God says so. Now, when you get to talking God like that and believing it. Oh, if Christendom could do that, if you could lay your hand hold of something that's real, catch a vision of God and see his presence, and hold on to it until God sends the answer back and the blessing. What a revival would break out here in Tulsa if people could do that and could see the power of the living God. Something real. No matter what form he comes in, we have our ideals, but God has a way of sending things to us, answering our prayer. There's been prayer meetings going on here in the city for a long time for a revival. I believe if we could just open our eyes and be ready to receive it, God would send it to us in his way of doing it. In his time, God would grant it. But we've got to recognize we have asked, and if we ask, then we shall receive. And he held on to it. Moses did, an unexpected time, an unexpected place, an unexpected way. But when he realized it was gone, he held on to it. So God doesn't, our mind just cannot comprehend. It's impossible for us to comprehend the mind of God. His mind's a million miles away from our thoughts. God, many times I've seen people, they get too focused on just, they get like tunnel vision. And they get so focused on one thing, and they don't look beyond that. And to see, you know, that the big picture, I always call it. But you got to realize God isn't just looking at the here and now. God is looking at what's to come, and we should be doing the same. Now, here in questions and answers, there was a people that turned in this question, said, why can't we sell our house? We have prayed and fasted to sell it, yet no results. Brother Ram says, well now, brother, sister, whoever it is now, you're trying to sell your property and you've done that. You want to sell it, probably buy some more or whatever you want to, I don't know. If your objective is right, Brother Random always goes to that. If your objective is right, you're trying to buy a home. If you got children or something like that, you want to get them a better home or something. I don't know what it's all about, but I'd say this. If you're trying to sell it and fasting and trying to sell it, then commit it to the Lord and forget about it. We get stressed over things that we don't need to be stressed over. And one thing is asking God for something and being able to put it in his hand and say, okay, I'm not going to get stressed over that. And he said, just commit it to the Lord and forget about it, see, because it might be, you might move somewhere else and it might not be right. See, if you're a Christian and trust the Lord, because you surely are, you wouldn't be fasting and praying. So I just commit it to the Lord and say, now, Lord, when your time is for us to sell it, you'll send a buyer. Then commit it to the Lord and take your hands off and go ahead. I believe it'll work. And so I just love the way Brother Branham puts this. You know, they got a desire to sell their house. He don't know why, the reason. But he says, if you're praying and fasting about it, then just commit it to God and go on. God will send it at the right time. If the buyer comes at the wrong time, is what he's saying, and then you get out and you end up moving somewhere that you shouldn't move to in the first place. So just wait on the Lord with it. And we should do that with everything in our life. Wait on the Lord with it. It'll happen according to the right time when it's best for your good. That's the big thing. We don't always know what's good for us. But God does. Here he says in Works as Faith Expressed, he said, like God in Genesis 1, he said, let there be light. Let there be this, let there be that. Created man his own image, the image of God created he them, male and female. Then there was nothing on earth yet. Then we find out in Genesis 2, he made man his own image. There was no man to till the soul after the rest of creation. What was it? It's his words he was speaking. And when he spoke and said, let there be light, there might not have been light for 800 years afterwards. Might not have been no light. But he said it. Well, if he said it, it's going to come to... We know that he spoke, let there be light, and there was light. What Brother Branham is saying is, we don't know how long a span between him speaking it and it manifesting itself. But the thing about it is, if he spoke it, it will manifest. Now he goes on to explain this further. He said, let there be a palm tree, or let there be an oak tree, or let there be this. Them seeds was forming under beneath the water. And in the season, in the time, in its own season, it brought forth. It can't fail, it's God's word. It just can't fail, it's been expressed. So God can grant it to you, but there's a right time to it. Now here's something I want to read to you where Brother Branham spoke in Jeffersonville, 54. And he's given this testimony about this young girl that was sick. She had spinal meningitis. It was St. Vitus dance in the spine. And her little lips was bleeding, eating and bleeding, and her little fingers just bleeding all over where she had been biting her fingers and things like that, and just screaming and going on. She was screaming and crying and fighting. And he said, I prayed and went down to the church and waited hours after hours and set out in the old car and waited. I wasn't going to leave that case till I heard from heaven. And just sitting there in a car, a vision broke before me and said, go tell the father and his father and the mother that the other day downtown she bought a little white kettle and it's never had water in it before. And said, tell her to look in the third drawer and she'll find a handkerchief that's in a piece of paper that's never been used before. Tell her to fill the pitcher with the kettle with water, stand the father on the right hand and the grandfather on the left hand and repeat, our Father who art in heaven. And as they start that, let them wipe that rag across her face and in the middle of the prayer have her touch her hands, then her feet, and then stand and say, thus saith the Lord. And that's something. And when they did that, the girl rose up, healed. Now he had said they had been praying all over the city for this girl, but it didn't seem like nothing was happening. But then when this vision broke and God told him, have them do this way. And you think, that's so strange. But remember when Naaman come to the prophet and he said, go wash 7 times in Jordan? And remember Naaman didn't want to do it? And one of his servants said, if he'd have told you to wash in one of the good waters, you'd have readily done it. If he'd asked you to do some mighty thing, you would have readily done it. But he asked you to do something real simple. And when Naaman went down there and dipped in the old muddy waters of Jordan 7 times, he was healed. Now, it wasn't virtue in the water. It was virtue in obeying what the Lord had said. through the mouth of the prophet.
Amen.
So it's the same thing in this case. The virtue wasn't in a kettle that had never been used or in a handkerchief. Look, God told Brother Branham where the handkerchief was, in the third drawer of the dresser. Said, look there, there's a handkerchief and a piece of paper, and handkerchief's never been used. Now, there was no virtue in either one of those things. But where it was in that they'd done exactly what Brother Branham told them to do by the vision that he had received from God. And in their obedience, it brought healing to that little girl. So sometimes you want something and God will require something of you. Remember that the rich young ruler, he wanted eternal life. And Jesus said, well, you know, keep the commandments, honor your father and mother. He said, I've done that. And Jesus said, well, then go sell all you have and give it to the poor. And he went away sad. Because he just couldn't do what Jesus was asking him to do. To me, that's one of the saddest stories in the Bible. That young man that's called the rich young ruler in the Bible, where is he at tonight? He's somewhere. And don't you think that he's wishing he'd have done what Jesus told him to do? How many years or centuries has he been wishing, I wish I'd have sold everything I had and gave it to the poor? But see, it meant too much to him because all he could see was the here and now. Jesus knew he couldn't do it. He knew it was this thing that was going to stumble him. But if he'd have done it. Sometimes you got to look on down the road. What's going to happen on down the road? You know. Now, Brother Branham talks about this in a few different places. I've picked out three where he talks about that sign he'd receive in his hand. And he would take his left hand and grab their right hand, and then he'd put his right hand up to God. And then in his left hand, he would see things that would happen, and he would tell them what was wrong with them. And Brother Branham talks about that here. And it was something that God required. God told him to do it. But here is in 1959. And Brother Branham, you realize, had moved on in his ministry where he was actually using discernment. And by then he was already telling the people perhaps their name or where they were from and different things like that, to lift up their faith. But he said in this particular message, and he was preaching in Ohio, he said, now give me your hand. Now I'm not going to ask for discernment. I'm just going to put your hands. Now look here. Now lay your hand on. I don't know even what's wrong, but God does. Now looky here. Look at my hand. See it swelling? See these little white things jumping over it there? Now watch. I'm going to take my hand off. Now put your other hand. It's not there anymore. See, it's not there now. But put that hand on, because he told me your right hand, that's your pledge of faith, that I've told you the truth. It's my left hand next to my heart to God. That's why it come out. Now, you want to tell me what your trouble is? I don't know, but just a moment. I just relax and I don't think, and I think myself, then it's wrong. I just wait. It's female trouble, lady trouble. Isn't that right? Raise your hand up to that. That's the discernment another way. Healing is in gifts. But Brother Branham was instructed to do these things in this way, and then God would heal them. And there, I remember I started having back trouble when I was about 18 years old. And I had graduated high school, and I was visiting a church up there where Mina went to church. And this is before we were married. And I went up for prayer because my back was just killing me. And I couldn't hardly ride right in the car or nothing. It just, my back was hurting so bad. And I went up for prayer, and the minister prayed for me. He says, "Is there anything that you've done that you need to make right?" And I said, well, right then, there, right on the spot, I couldn't think. And I said, "I don't know." He said, "If there is, you go make it right, and your back pain will leave." And so I got to thinking, and before I'd give my life to God, I had done some thievery. And I'd stole from where I worked at, and I'd stole it from other places and things like that. And so I figured up everything I stole. I sat down and figured out how much I owed these places. And I went around to each one of these places, even the place where I worked, and told them, "Look, I stole this stuff. This is how much I owe you." And even my boss I was working for, I says, "You can do whatever you want, but I've got to do this. I got to make this right. I got to tell you." And my boss said he trusted me more then than he ever did all the years I'd worked for him. And then I remember that I went ahead and worked my shift, and I was working in a grocery store. And that night, he had never done it before, but that night he gave me the keys to the Pepsi machine and Coke machine, and all these machines was outside the door. He said, "Go gather up all the money out of them." He had never done that before. But I said, well, he trusts me. I went out there and gathered up all the money out of them and brought it back to him. And it meant something to me that he did that. But I went to these other places. I went to stores where I had stole stuff from, and I went and I said, "I need to talk to the manager." And here I was, just 18 years old, you know. I wasn't thinking about anything except making these things right. I told my dad what I did, and he said, "They could have arrested you." I said, "Well, I don't know." I said, "I just wanted to make good on everything, make right, you know." And none of these places, none of them did, they took my money and didn't say another word about it. And after I'd done the last one, the pain in my back left. Now, see, there was something, I give you the example to show you, there was something required for me to do. And if I went and did that, and I did it believing now that I believed if I did this, the pain was going to leave my back. That's what I was believing, because that's what I'd been told. So you realize then, see, that was faith. Faith, I had faith that if I did these things, made it right, that the pain would go away, and it did. So sometimes there's things that God requires of you to do before he'll answer your prayer. Sometimes God allows certain things to come on us to to move us in a certain way. You know, and let's say, for instance, that you, someone that you knew was real sick. And let's say that you said something about them because you didn't understand, you know, their sickness, and you didn't understand, well, why can't they do what they should be doing? And you said something about it, well, then the Lord could allow that same thing to come on you just to show you your ignorance and teach you his best. You know, sometimes we run our mouths when we ought to be quiet, you know. And the thing is, we've heard over and over again, Brother Branham saying, say good things about one another. Don't say bad things about one another. And you say, well, I know some bad things. Well, Brother Branham gave us a recipe for that too. He said, if you can't say anything good, don't say nothing at all. Matthew chapter 7, if you turn with me. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Jesus said, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Now turn with me to Luke chapter 11. This is saying pretty much the same thing, except Jesus goes on, adds a couple other things in here. Verse 9, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. He that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask any of you that is a father, or ask bread of any of you that is a father, will you give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for the fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Yes. So if you have need of the Holy Spirit, what do? Ask him. Right. He said he would give it. Hallelujah. We know the Bible says all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to his purpose. So everything is going to work out for your good. Sometimes the things we think it maybe should be this way or it should be that way, but God answers it a different way. He answers it in the right way. Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we look to you tonight, Father. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to us, Lord, and opening up these scriptures and giving us this little lesson. And maybe to some, Lord, all it was just a refresher. But Lord, we are to be reminded of these things from time to time. Lord, I pray, Lord, your blessings on the people now, Lord. And for those that weren't able to be here, Lord, you know the reasons. I pray, dear God, that you'll go to them and supply their need, Lord. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.